that? Learn more about the latest breakthrough from Xfinity. Wi-Fi speeds faster than a gig. Go to Xfinity.com, call them 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store near you. Restrictions apply. Geek speed Wi-Fi requires gigabyte internet and compatible XFI gateway. Actual speeds may vary, not guaranteed.
This segment on 104.3 The Fan is brought to you by Credit Union of Colorado.
Bet Rivers Sportsbook McGill's Hotel and Casino presents the Fan Golf Challenge. Pick the top finishers at next week's major for your chance to win $300 cash and a new driver from the PGA Tour Superstore. Register now at denverfan.com/golf.
Denver Sports Snapshot.
Nuggets are in Detroit to battle the Pistons. Rockies face off with the Reds at Coors Field.
Snapshot presented by Schomp BMW. One price, one person, 1 hour.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Oh, man, people are really into this. How many Americans are on a NHL team?
Turns out they're all over the place, my friend.
Guess so.
You got crushed in that bit.
I did. It was like, no offense, but you shouldn't feel sorry for D-Mac when he sets himself up and walks into a rake. good for America.
Doink.
Good for America. I'm looking at this Google thing. The Capitals have the most non-North Americans. Wait a second. Hold on. I got to think about that for a second. The most non-North Americans.
So Europeans.
Yeah, with 16. So they have the least amount of Americans and Canadians. That's a weird one there. Because Canada is part of North America, right?
Correct.
But this doesn't really just talk about Americans. It's talking non-North Americans.
We're talking about America. That's what we're talking about.
The Penguins have the lowest non-North American representation with just 5 players. So theoretically, then, the possibility that the Penguins have the most American players is the highest. I don't know if that's true, though.
I don't know. I mean, I won both my bets.
That's
all that matters.
Don't worry about it.
Right?
You're good.
I'm crushing it.
You're right.
Anything else you want to bet on? I mean, don't you want to catch up now?
No.
You're down 2. You got to catch up.
If you give me something. What's the action? What's the coffee action?
Over under on total Americans in the NHL.
Oh, I'm not. I wouldn't even know where to start there.
Well, you thought there were 4?
Well, if I say 8 times 30, 240, I could set the number at 240 and say over under 240.
You could.
You want to take that? Well, we can count that up.
Richie.
No, <we'll> stop. Stop. What a night for the Avalanche, though, man. That was just
awesome. Wide stride, steers it off for Timmons. Still looking for his first. Wiedrichsen score! Tyson Jost, his second goal of the game, his second goal of the period, and that is going to do it. For the first time in 20 years, the Colorado Avalanche have won the President's Trophy.
Can you imagine if Bednar just played Grubauer? Can you imagine what that score would have looked like?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
It might have been 5-0.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy.
Uh-huh.
Nuts. Mount Palumbus speak. Based on everything, Tyler, do you think the Avs? Would it be disappointing at this point if the Avs didn't win the Stanley Cup?
Mount Palumbus speak.
That's interesting.
Man, that's a tough standard to say they have to literally win the Stanley Cup. No, I don't think that that's fair. I will agree, though, that they have to make an appearance. They got to be in the finals. That's what the expectation was when the season began. They had the best odds of winning the Stanley Cup. Season began, and it was a little bit rough there for a brief moment. And from then on out, Avalanche just dominated. They were just doing their deal. Been fantastic, even with subpar backup goaltending going on for the majority of the season. Avalanche were still dominating. So to be here, you win the President's Trophy. We know that the stats say that that really doesn't help you all too much in hockey to get the home ice advantage. So it's not like that is that big of a deal in as far as their overall odds of winning it. But yeah, my expectations at this point are that you continue to play the type of hockey that you've played that got you here. if something changed between now and, I don't know, game seven of the first series, of course I would be disappointed. Winning it, that's a tough standard.
You know what? I will say it would be disappointing.
Okay.
Because you really don't get legitimate shots at winning a championship all that often. And there are no guarantees you'd be back there. And there is something to be said about hitting all of the expectations so far. So why would winning the Stanley Cup be any different?
Man, I guess I just feel a little bit differently just because of how many games you have to play to get there in the playoffs. I mean, it's crazy to me in hockey. It actually borderline feels dumb to me that you have to win that many games to advance. You could clearly be the better team. You get an injury or two and all of a sudden the season's over because you got how many games total do you have to win? Do the math for me. To get to the Stanley Cup, how many total games do you have to win?
To win the Stanley Cup, 16.
16.
Mm-hmm. 16W. That was the old
Tommy, that's my entire NFL schedule.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. It's a grind. That's why it's so exciting. It wouldn't be a disappointment if you just weren't the favorites. If you were coming from a 3, 4, 5 seed. I mean, nobody, you know, everybody's like, oh, man, what a season. Do your best, that sort of thing. I do think it changes when you are the top team. You win the James Polk President's Trophy. We're just calling it that. Kind of like Polkcheck.
Mm.
Hockey guys. I think that's probably why, over the years, the team that has won the James Polk President's Trophy has failed so often, because the expectations probably put a lot more pressure on you, and it's difficult to live up to.
Well, it's just an insanely long grind to get to the Stanley Cup Finals. So I won't be disappointed if they don't win it. I will be disappointed if they don't make an appearance.
I'll be disappointed if they don't win it. It's a high bar.
But what does that mean? Like, if you say you're disappointed, does that mean somebody messed up? Does that mean you're bad at somebody? Does that mean, like, there's different levels of disappointment for sure.
Well, I guess it depends on how it happens. You were raking Bednar over the coals a little bit for his goalie decision last night.
Well, easy. I definitely did not rake him over the coals, but I disagreed with it.
Okay.
I would have done it differently. I would have played my best players because I thought it was an important game to win. He proved me wrong.
Yeah, and by the way, if you look at the schedule and starts next Monday, you don't get back, like I told you, you don't get back-to-back games. You get days off. You just play Grubauer, period, unless he's hurt. There's really not much to think about. Frankly, once you get into in this level, the coaches are so out of it. You know, they don't have to make a whole lot of decisions. You know, you have a system. You have a way of doing things. It's really on the players. You're not making any goalie decisions like you just did. It's just, here we go. So I don't know if there's anybody to necessarily, like, blame. I would be shocked if there, it'd just be sort of like, ah, what a bummer. I mean, unless somebody does something like insanely stupid. But I really don't see a world of that happening either. It's just going to be game on. Let's go.
How about this? We've got very high expectations for the Avalanche. I did not have high expectations for the Nuggets a month ago. Or how long has it been since Jamal Murray went down now? It's been a while.
Yeah, they're screwing that up, aren't they?
I more or less gave up on the Nuggets having any hopes in the playoffs. But, man, as good as they've played now, dude, I'd be disappointed for sure if you don't at least win the first series.
And they're playing Detroit tonight. They may win by 50. They're winning games on this road trip.
That sounds a little bit like a Zach Bye jinxy cat right there. I mean, you just put it up by 50.
Detroit's 20-50. They're arguably the worst team in the NBA.
All right, if they lose this game, though, you officially cannot ever say anything like that again.
Well, I'll tell you what. Get Zach Bye's tinfoil hat because I got something to run.
He's got a patent on that one,
rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me put that on because there's a crazy conspiracy theory surrounding Aaron Rodgers and the Broncos that's out there. Details next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
We'll preview the Nuggets-Detroit Pistons game in just a little bit with Matt Moore on the Action Network, one of our Nuggets insiders. Everything's going on. It's exciting. Rockies and the Reds a little bit later tonight. Looks like a decent night down at the ballpark. And your Avalanche residents, way to go. What a night last night, man. So that's just awesome. All right, Tyler, Listen, we have Private IP. He's a good dude.
Oh.
One of our listeners.
Mm.
And Private IP thought there was something nefarious going on and maybe leading towards Aaron Rodgers coming here to the NFL.
Ooh.
Or to the Broncos.
Good investigator?
No, actually, he's pretty lousy, as it turns out.
Oh,
but
okay.
You can hit the music and, you know, we can lay it out. I'll tell you what Private IP thought was going on.
Mm.
The Private IP goes to NFL.com and he tries to order a Rodgers 12 Broncos jersey.
Hmm.
And he's not able to do it. And Private Eye Pizza's like, hey!
Why can't I do this?
Why can't I do this? He must be coming to the Broncos.
Naturally.
Yeah, but Private Eye Pizza's level of inquiry stopped short there. And as we did a very, I don't know, how much time do we put into it? Maybe 30, 40 seconds during the commercial break.
It was in that ballpark.
Yeah, I mean, it was really within, we figured out how to double-check Private Eye Pete's math within 30, 40 seconds. What the NFL has done, Private Eye Pete and everybody else, is you can't use common NFL last names with their numbers on jerseys. They won't let you do
it. The specific number, right?
Correct.
So you could use a common name if you used a different number, though.
Correct. So if you want to do Rodgers 11 or 13 on a Broncos shirt, you could do it.
Okay.
But you can't do Rodgers 12.
So what you're saying is Private Eye Pete needs to put in a little bit more legwork before he gives us the information?
Yeah, it's a pretty lousy investigation right now by Private Eye Pete, but it is a nice twist. I didn't know you couldn't do that in the NFL. Like, we checked out Tom Brady.
Well, I wonder how long that's been true. Is that always been true?
Well, I don't know. It was true 30 seconds ago. And so if you wanted a Tom Brady 12 shirt, you can't. It comes up Brad. You can't do Brady.
Gotcha.
Mahomes 15, but Mahomes 14, no problem. So, you know, the NFL, hey, they're not giving away money there, Tyler.
Let's be honest.
They're not giving away money.
Rodgers is probably going to change numbers anyways when he comes to the Broncos. He's not going to want the same numbers. So, you know, let's think about what number he's going to want to be.
Who is it? Cortland Sutton? Help me out here.
Cortland's 14.
Who's 12? Do we have a 12 on the Broncos?
I don't think so.
12. That doesn't stand out to me.
Broncos.
I don't think that's going to be much of an issue.
12.
Trinity Benson.
Trinity Benson.
You know what? A-Rod might have an issue with Trinity.
Yeah, might have to pay him off.
Yeah.
Sertan was pretty happy about wearing two.
Sure he was.
That makes
a good
sense.
Year to come into the NFL. You got to keep your number.
All right. How about a Javonte Williams wanted to be three, but he couldn't because of Drew Lock. So he's 33.
Well, that's a good compromise there. No, you know what? Going from 3 to 33, I don't think that's a good look.
33 is a tricky number.
33 makes you look a little bit fat and slow. You go from single digits to double digits, you all of a sudden you become the fat guy.
Listen, man, we are just, it is rolling around here. I mean, absolutely rolling.
Tapasso for three. Got it! Uno, dos, tres, para Faku.
Our guy, Chris Marlowe, on Altitude. It's exciting to see what the Nuggets have done. And to give us a preview of tonight is Matt Moore of the Action Network, our fan Nuggets insider, courtesy of Michelob Ultra, an official beer sponsor of the Nuggets. Matt, these guys don't know how to lose. It's crazy. Well, how would you describe what's been going on in the past couple games and really what's left to play for?
Yeah, so actually what's left to play for is kind of the most interesting thing left. I mean, the Nuggets are just shown to be resilient. You know, no MPJ last night, and they still take care of business versus the Wolves. Like, there's a real strength, I think, in the organization that it all stems, obviously, from the play of Jokic, and he opens up a lot offensively. But defensively, they've made real strides. Like, this team is still tough as nails, even with so many new guys in. And that's maybe the most promising thing about them is they're mentally tough. They don't get down. They're resilient, and they play really great basketball. And right now they've been playing it on both ends of the floor, even without Jamal Murray and Will Barton and PJ Dozier. So an impressive run. Now the question is who they face in the playoffs, and that's a really complicated question that's going to come down to these final three nights of the regular season. And there's about, I think, 15 different scenarios that you can point to.
Okay, so the most simple scenarios that I understand, and I'm sure you've got a million others, is that if you're the four seed, you're likely facing off against Lakers, Trailblazers, or Mavericks. Is that correct? And if that is correct, what are you rooting for?
Yeah, so I think here's kind of how it comes down. There's a chance that they can move to three or four. They can't get the two seed. And so depending on what happens, like here's an example. They're one game behind the Clippers. The Clippers have pulled everybody tonight versus the Rockets, who have secured the lowest seed. They are not playing Kawhi Leonard. They're not playing Paul George, Reggie Jackson, Serge Ibaka, on down the line. They are clearly saying, if not, we're okay with losing. If they're not saying we want to lose, they're definitely saying we're fine with taking this loss because the Nuggets are playing Jokic and MPJ tonight versus Detroit. And so if they win, that's tied, and the Nuggets moves up to three, which sounds like a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Except that then if Denver beats Portland on Sunday and the Lakers go 2-0, first round is 3-seed Nuggets versus 6-seed Lakers.
Wow. Wow.
If they lose tonight, yeah. If they lose tonight, it increases the chances of them falling to 4. And if the Mavericks go 2-0 versus pretty weak opponents, they have the Raptors tonight, for example, then it would be 4-seed Nuggets versus 5-seed Mavericks. There's also a scenario where you can basically lose to the Blazers if you've got the 4 seed and put Lakers versus Clippers in the first round and put both of those teams on the other side of the bracket. I haven't ever seen anything like this.
Wow.
The play-in has a lot to do with it, but there is literally so many combinations of what can happen. And the Nuggets have to be, well, they don't have to be careful, but if they want to choose their opponent, how they play these next two games is going to be really fascinating.
You know what's crazy, though? They play the Pistons, who are the second-to-worst team in the NBA. Like, how do you not beat them? Like, how do you not win tonight?
The Clippers are facing literally the worst team in the league in the Rockets, and that's why no one's going to play.
Right.
And the Pistons tonight they have reason to lose. The Rockets have already clinched the number one lottery spot. The Pistons have reason to lose. I'm going to be real honest with you guys. I do not know who's playing tonight for the Pistons. I went through the injury list, and I had I cover the league a lot, and I had a real hard time trying to figure out who's going to be in the rotation. I don't know how many guys they even have. So this is a real tough squad, honestly, to lose to, which is, I think, part of the problem. Plus, I honestly think that the players are in the mindset, like, Jokic wants to play all 72.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty clear he wants that. MPJ is going to play tonight. Okay. And, you know, whether that means Jokic and plays 20 minutes in the first half and sits the second, these are the kind of things that we just don't know how the Nuggets are going to play this because it's pretty complicated.
You know, maybe it's not so complicated. It's a good opportunity to get guys reps without – you can't worry about the wins and the losses. You just win. But use it as an opportunity to rotate other guys in and just let the chips fall where they may, Matt, right? I mean, that's probably the best.
Yeah, I mean, here's the other side of it, all right? Worst case scenario, you wind up in the 3-6 versus the Lakers, right?
Mm-hmm.
One, you pull this upset off without Jamal Murray, and it's one of the most impressive wins in franchise history. It's probably up there with the 8-seed win over the Sonics for most impressive upsets. And you've just beaten the Lakers. Are you scared of anybody else?
No.
And if you lose without Jamal Murray, okay, you get some information on what that matchup looks like next year with Murray. You get to find out, hey, can we play JaVale McGee on Anthony Davis and Jokic versus Drummond? How did Aaron Gordon do versus LeBron in the playoff environment? You're not going to shut him down, but did he do okay? Or did they need to look for other options? How did MPJ look? You get more information for that. So there's something to be said for just playing it out and you face the Lakers, you face the Lakers, come what may. The question is whether or not you want to maximize your best route to make a run or not.
Appreciate it, Matt. More of the Action Network, courtesy of Michelob Ultra, an official beer sponsor of the Denver Nuggets. That game gets going in just a little bit. Top six, that gets going next.